This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Enterprise Biz Bytes. My name is Rich Bradbury. I'm in the studio with
Christine Wong.
It's been a while, Chris, hasn't it?
It has been.
I went off, and then you went off, and now here we are again.
Yes.
On this Tuesday, the 6th of September, 2022, 12:05 here in the studio. Not such a bad day outside. A little bit overcast, so yeah, we might get a little bit of rain this afternoon. It looks like there might be a little bit of haze over Bangsar over there right now. But here in the studio, it's nice and cool.
Yeah.
Not too cold today.
No.
We're virtually talking to you about some virtual stuff today, kind of. We're speaking about the metaverse, and to many of us, it's a virtual universe in which we can shop, we can play games, or even work. To big tech companies and businesses, it is a market of untapped potential that everyone is jumping into. It's also been called the next iteration of the internet that will change the web as we know it. We'll be hearing from Khalid Gibran. He is the co-founder and CEO of Meta Universe. To learn more about the metaverse and how it's been positioned to change the way we work in the future. If you have any interest in this or you want to get in touch with us about this discussion, get us via WhatsApp, 018-789-8899. Twitter, of course, we're at BFM Radio. So as we just mentioned, some tech giants are investing deep into the metaverse, and if they can help it, we'll soon be doing our shopping, getting our entertainment, or perhaps even working our jobs in the metaverse. So the real question is, are we ready to live a portion of our lives in virtual space? Chris, I know you have an opinion about that. We'll ask you again in a bit. A McKinsey report dived into how we feel about the metaverse, which has been heralded as the future of the internet. And a bit of context for you history buffs. Back in 1992, American author Neal Stephenson published his novel titled Snow Crash. In that novel, he described a universe that coexisted with physical reality, in which citizens interact with each other as avatars. He named this universe the metaverse. Present technology has now caught up with that vision and offering what was only written about back in a novel from 1992.
And of course, the metaverse has also received large-scale support from Mark Zuckerberg and other tech leaders within Silicon Valley. Back in May 2021, Zuckerberg told CNET that the metaverse will allow internet users to immerse themselves in virtual reality rather than just experiencing it from behind a screen. And he was very clear in his vision of the metaverse that extends beyond just gaming. He said it'll be a different way to experience life, and of course within that same scope, the way we work as well. Now, looking beyond the hype, there are some real world questions being thrown about which revolve around three key points. First of which is, how much of an opportunity does the metaverse present? Is there actually untapped potential there? The second one is, are early players in this space fighting a winner-takes-all battle? So think, you know, DVDs versus Laserdiscs, Blu-ray versus HD DVDs, Betamax versus VHS tapes. Some are also questioning the importance of hardware in the widespread acceptance and success of the metaverse. I mean, how many of us actually have the full hardware capability to experience the metaverse and what it has to offer, like the VR goggles and all that jazz?
Right. So what exactly is the metaverse? And I think this, depending on who you ask, you get a different answer as well.
Right.
But it is, in its current form, it's an integration of immersive presence in a virtually interactive, self-sufficient ecosystem. This ecosystem is a combination of mobile networks, augmented reality, social media, gaming, virtual reality, e-commerce, cryptocurrency, and work environments. It's been envisioned and developed as the future of the internet. So this involves the convergence of augmented reality, virtual reality, and physical worlds in a shared digital space. Big tech companies that we mentioned, like Meta, Google, Apple, and Microsoft, are considering metaverse in their roadmaps. And according to researchandmarkets.com, the global market for metaverse is estimated at $107 billion back in 2020. And the number is projected to reach $759 billion by the year 2026.
Now, the McKinsey report that we mentioned earlier pulled some interesting facts and figures from respondents on what they think of the metaverse. And while a universal definition of the metaverse is still non-existent, nearly 50% of those surveyed described it using keywords such as immersive and interactive. A majority of respondents had also heard of Roblox, Fortnite, and Decentraland. These are some of the platforms laying the groundwork for the existence of the metaverse. A healthy 30% have dipped their toes into the metaverse and expected to spend a lot more time on these virtual environments sometime in the near future. And some of the activities being cited cited as popular amongst the survey participants are shopping, medical consultations, and online courses. Business meetings and dating in the metaverse are also some of the activities that have been put forward as well.
Interesting. Mm. And a key area of interest these days also seems to revolve around how we can work within the metaverse. In an attempt to uncover how the metaverse will change the way we work, ExpressVPN has recently done a survey to uncover just how employees feel. Some of the response recorded when asked on why employees are interested in working in the metaverse include increased work from home flexibility, easier to collaborate with co-workers, increased job opportunities, and the ability to quote unquote travel virtually. So there were some concerns raised as well by employees in the survey. They expressed concerns about digital privacy and security, something we know all too well about here in Malaysia. Employer surveillance is also something that employees worry about. With that said, 50% of Gen Z foresee that they will be working within a metaverse environment in the next 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Right, Chris, how do you feel potentially about working in a metaverse environment?
I kind of feel like if it's inevitable, I don't mind adapting. But I think one of the main draws of interacting in some kind of virtual environment is to not be yourself.
Right.
It's to do things that you can't do in real life. It's to be someone that you can't be in real life. I'm reminded of there was like a platform back in the day called IMVU where you could be like a virtual avatar and go around and talk to people and do, you know. But the whole point of that was not for you to be an avatar of yourself. It was to like be whoever you wanted to
be.
So in that sense, I can understand, you know, the appeal of a virtual environment. To go into a virtual environment as just me, though, I'm kind of not as interested. I think, you know,
it's like the work you and then the after work you.
Yeah,
have to be right.
Where I'm a bit like, I don't really see the point when I can just send an email. Like, I don't want to have to go and, you know, get all this equipment and hardware do the whole thing when I could just, you know, send someone a WhatsApp and be like, hey, we should talk about this.
Right. I think what interests me and some of the stumbling blocks I can see from this is the economy. You know, how would an economy work somewhere that is decentralized? You know, do you use cryptocurrency? And that cryptocurrency, as we know, is up and down all the time. If you tried to use one form of currency, it is valued at one thing in one country and valued differently. And it's so complicated to get your head around the whole idea.
Yeah, I think also there's an interesting idea of, you know, stuff like the medical consultations and the dating are really interesting to me because those are so personal. I feel like that's such an interesting thing to bring into a virtual space where, you know, for example, with the medical consultation, I'm just sitting here thinking when you go to the clinic, you know, a doctor has to physically
examine you.
But how does that work in the space of the metaverse? Is it as effective? Will your diagnoses be as accurate if you're performing this virtually? Dating is a whole other kettle of fish because, you know, to what extent?
And you know, the whole idea of the metaverse is that you're pretending to be somebody else.
Right. Or you know, even if you are presenting as close of an avatar of yourself as you can, is that anything that matches up with like the real thing? Like, you know, would your avatar have better hair or better teeth or, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of interesting, I guess, kind of ethical questions I have about the metaverse as well. And then also not to mention all the data privacy and security issues that I'm, you know, a bit concerned about as well.
Yeah, I mean, I could see stuff like, you know, psychological consultations working in there. That kind of stuff I'd imagine would work.
I feel like therapy in the metaverse would be great.
Absolutely. Let's meet up in you know, a virtual Bali and sit around and have a chat about your mental health. You know, so that would absolutely 100% work for me.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Let us know what you think about this, guys. 018-789-8899 is the WhatsApp number. Twitter, of course, we're at BFM Radio. After the break, we'll be speaking with Khalid Gibran. He is the co-founder and CEO of Meta Universe to hear his thoughts on the current interaction of the metaverse and how it can potentially change the way we work. That's all coming up after these messages. Music from The Killers with When You Were Young here on BFM 89.9.
Bungkus for Makan. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. I'm Rich Bradbury in the studio with
Christine Wong.
What is the metaverse? To many of us, it's a virtual universe in which we can shop, play games, or even work. And to big tech companies and some businesses, it is a market of untapped potential that everybody seems to be jumping into. It's also been called the next iteration of the internet and could change the web as we know it. We have on the line with us right now Khalid Gibran. He is the co-founder and CEO of Meta Universe to learn more about the metaverse and how it's been positioned to change the way we work in the future. Before we speak to Khalid, just a reminder, you can get us via WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and Twitter at BFM Radio. Now, Khalid, just to start us off, we've been hearing a lot about the ability to work within the metaverse, but could you perhaps give us an idea of what working within the metaverse might be like?
Metaverse is all about Web3. What's Web3? It's I'll throw some names. I'm sure yourself and the listeners will sort of identify with some of these names. Metaverse, blockchain, NFTs, marketplaces, OpenSea, Pinterest. So these are some of the names that resonate with this space. And the Web3 space is pretty much powered by blockchain technology, which is amazing. The more I get to dive into this, the more I get to know about it, I fall in love even more with this space. Why? Because the opportunities are limitless. You know, when people generally say sky is the limit, truly what they meant was metaverse, the space that exists right now today, is where the limitless opportunities are. Working in a metaverse is something, it's a confined space in the virtual world designed or coded by blockchain. So for instance, if you had an idea of creating a workplace, because there's a child in every one of us, right? I mean, I'm sure that, you know, once in a while you'd like to play a few games. Even myself, I'd like to play a few games with my kids or myself. And so, you know, ideally, if you look at my dream of a workplace, I'd like to have, you know, a cinema, a theater, right, in my workplace when I'm sort of stressed. I'd like to go watch a movie, forget my stress, recharge myself. I'd like to have a space where, you know, we can talk about anything. I'd like to have a space where I can go and meditate. I'd like to have a space where I can go and play a few games. I don't know, snooker, you know, whatever the game, you know, a bunch of games where I can play. And not just that, when I'm playing games, I'd like to earn some points. I'd like to maybe earn some money. So this is my dream workplace. And also what I'd like to do in that workplace is connect with people from the same industry, but are in different parts of the world, right? So, you know, maybe I want to talk to someone from Paris, right? So my area of expertise right now is Web3. So I'd like to talk to someone in Paris in Web3, right? So I can actually talk to them straight away. Maybe I want to consult my colleague in America, maybe in LA, my colleagues in LA, my partner's there. So maybe I want to talk to my partner about something, consult something, right? So these are some of the things. So pretty much in summary, if you have a dream as a businessman, as an entrepreneur, as a business owner, as an employee, as an employer, if you have a dream of a workplace, you can make it come to reality in the metaverse.
I see. So, Khalid, what are some of the catalysts driving the rapid growth of the metaverse today?
The evolution and the catalyst for metaverse actually rolls back to a couple of years ago during COVID, right? So, you know, we all have that experience during COVID where we're in front of the computer, we're on our phones all the time, we've got a lot of time. So this is where it all started during COVID. There's a lot of people that went into virtual space, whether it's Zoom meetings, games, things like that. And the catalyst for metaverse as it is today, actually, I should say, the founding catalyst was COVID, right? So thanks to COVID. Even I got into this space because of COVID, right? Because you couldn't travel, you know, to places, you couldn't see others, you couldn't communicate, discuss. You could do it to a certain point through Zoom and so on, but there was no that 3D effect. So through metaverse, you could achieve that. So that's one of the biggest founding catalysts of metaverse as it is today. And again, the second thing is convenience, right? Second thing is convenience, because in the metaverse, you don't have to travel. You don't have to spend the air dollars, get insurance, get COVID test, this, that, and the other. So that's the second thing. Third thing is Third thing is health and safety, right? You know, health and safety has become paramount in people's minds now. You know, every time you just go, you sneeze quickly, the whole office staff are looking at you, right? And I go, shit, no, I don't have COVID, I promise you. Then, you know, I've got to wear a mask. So health and safety is one of the, you know, the third catalyst, I would say, in terms of metaverse. There are plenty more, but primarily I'd say thanks to COVID, convenience and health and safety. These are the things that I would cite as the three major catalysts.
Interesting. I've got a question for you here, and it's kind of backed up by a question I've just received a statement I just got via WhatsApp from Chris, who says, this metaverse workplace doesn't sound like it has much work. And so the question I have for you now is, many employers are curious about the effectiveness of moving work to the metaverse and how it will differ from our current understanding of the hybrid work or work from home concept. What are the key differences?
Okay, so just to explain again, you know, you're working from a physical office. And again, our team is also hybrid, 80% work from home, 20% in the office. So the other lot, you know, you work from home. And when you work from home, generally you use tools like Zoom, Google Meet, and so on to catch up, right? When you talk about working remotely, Metaverse actually enhances the work from home experience because it creates what I just mentioned. You know, it's just about, you know, the gamification element. It's, you know, you use avatar to you know, play in the metaverse or meet or work in the metaverse, and you can create your own avatar, right? You can dress your avatar up. So like going to work every day, but then you don't have the inconvenience of traffic, bad traffic, bad weather, things like that. Working from home, as opposed to working in the metaverse, working from home is conducive to working in the metaverse, and it's working in the metaverse is better than, you know, using Zoom, because you can always be in that space and you can walk around, have conversations whenever you want to with your team. You don't really have, and you can see where your team is at, right? In the metaverse, you can see the avatar of my colleague is right there at the cafe. So I can go and knock on his shoulder and say, hey, buddy, how's it going? So how's things, you know, how's the family, things like that. So it's a bit more social. It creates a bit more social element, because work from home has brought about some interesting issues, right, or challenges. You know, this whole depression thing, I'm sure you've heard about that. Globally, it's a big thing. Mental issues, loneliness, lack of social interaction, and so on. That issue can be resolved to a certain extent. I stress on the certain extent, not completely, through working in the metaverse.
Okay, I guess I could kind of see the social aspect of that being an interesting factor to put into play. But I guess just to drive the point home, Khalid, what kind of advantages can working in the metaverse offer employees and employers?
To all those employers out there, very simple, me being an employer myself, I love this space because I can bring my dream workplace to reality. And it's cost efficient. You know, I can travel from... With a click of a button, I can travel from here to Paris. I can go from here to Dubai and talk to my colleagues, have meetings. And then, you know, after the meeting, I can play a few games. So it's a complete environment as an employer. And also there is another interesting thing, which is data. Data-driven, merit-based rewarding system. You know, generally in an office for promotions, various other things, awards and so on, we have to depend on humans. Here, we can actually base it on merit, because every movement can be captured and, you know, rewarded. For instance, there could be a gamification element in the workplace where you work and earn, right? So maybe if you've got extra initiatives, you're doing interesting things, beating milestones, KPIs, you get points. And those points can be translated into rewards like travel, electronic goods, things like that, right? So data-driven as an employer, I like that element where we can have a data-driven merit-based rewarding system. As an employee, you know, will they get into this space? Absolutely, because I can tell you, post-COVID, when I spoke to my team and consulted them whether, you know, how would they like it, work from home, how does it work now? Because you can come to work physically now, right? So how does it work? So they cited things like, Khalid, we are so used to it in 2 years. My kids are used to having me around. I'm used to running around in my pajamas, and I'm not used to traffic and the weather and things like that. So, but then once again, once in a while, I'd like to come to work. I'd like to meet my colleagues, you know, because they're my friends as well. I have makan with them, all of that sort of stuff, right? Again, as an employee, I would like this thing if I like working from home. This enhances the experience of working from home, right? You can have that social element as well, as I mentioned. The second thing is go back to data again, you know, all the office politics, all of this. I've got to be good to the boss. I've got to be good to my colleagues, all of that. But here, as an employee now, I'm judged on my merit. I get rewarded. I would love that. The other thing, sorry, I forgot to mention as an employer as well, you can actually increase productivity and efficiency of the team by a metaverse workspace, because you can observe, you can monitor, and it's also conducive to identifying learning opportunities where training comes into play. You can look at an individual, you can say, okay, you know, this is last week, this is what it took for him to complete this task or project, but this time around it's a bit slower, it's a bit faster. If it's faster, what did he do that he didn't do with the previous project? If it's slower, what did he do with the previous project that he didn't do right now? So there is amazing training and development opportunities. It makes someone very, very efficient from an employer's point of view. From an employee's point of view, when I'm efficient, I'm going to get my raises, I'm going to get my bonus, I'm going to get my promotion. So that's how I see it.
Okay, clearly it's a divisive topic. We've got some feedback that we'll get to after these messages coming up. But we do have Khalid Gibran. He's the co-founder and CEO of Meta Universe. We're listening to his thoughts on the current interaction of the metaverse and how it can potentially change the way that we work. Give us your opinion on this. Get us via WhatsApp, 018-789-8899. Twitter, we're at BFM Radio. We'll get to your messages, OSK and others, after this break. Music from Audio Slave with Like a Stone here on BFM 89.9.
Build fortunes modestly. BFM 89.9.
Welcome back to Enterprise BizBytes. It's me, Rich Bradbury, in the studio with
Christine Wong.
We're speaking about the metaverse, and to many of us, it's a virtual universe in which we can shop, play games, or even work. To some people, it's just a bit of hype, and that is, you know, something that we've been getting feedback from via our WhatsApp messages, which we will come to after we've finished hearing, of course, from Khalid. He's been waiting patiently on the phone. We still have a few more questions for him yet. A reminder, you can get in touch, 018-789-8899. Twitter, we're at BFM Radio. So, Khalid, just before the break, we were speaking about advantages. And now, I want to ask, as with all things, do you think the workplace rules for conventional work and the metaverse would be the same? Why or why not?
You know, I wouldn't want to come to work in my pajamas, right? You know, rules are likely to be redefined to address issues relating to jurisdiction, culture, privacy, data security. So this area in itself is a deep ocean. And why? You don't have to wear a mask if you're at home, you're working in the metaverse, but at work, you've got to wear a mask. There are lots of simple examples I can give, but I can actually go deeper as well. Harassment, let's take harassment. It's got different connotations. If it's physical, it's a different, you know, it's a different set of rules that define harassment. And if it's metaverse or virtual, it's a different set of rules, right? When you talk about harassment, cyber harassment. And again, you know, how timing, hours, right? At work, you come in, Khalid, so what am I timing? I'd say 9 to 5 or 9:30 to 6. But what about the metaverse? Metaverse is all about, you know, work completion. You complete your task, you complete your project. Then it's game over, right? But at work, there are some ethics, you know, lunchtime, when is the lunchtime, when do you start, when do you finish, when's the coffee break, so on and so forth. So definitely the answer is no, different set of rules. But again, similar, like, you know, for example, harassment, talk about code of conduct, things like that. There are similar elements, but how you address them is different.
Okay. I mean, I don't really know how to feel about that, but I think what you're saying, Khalid, is, I mean, I guess the question here is, do you think that businesses should be seriously considering integrating the metaverse into their business? I mean, how should businesses be preparing for the metaverse?
Okay, very, very good question. I believe it's an avenue. It's an additional avenue or a distribution channel for businesses. And the way the businesses can prepare is, number one, identify what the business issues are currently. I mean, there's a lot of competition. There's a lot of inflation around. How are they currently coping with the market challenges? That's number one. Number two is, if they want to get into metaverse, I strongly recommend, whatever the size of your business, you should get into it. The second part is readiness to accept that Web3 should be part of the strategy rather than a tactical campaign. So a lot of the businesses I speak to right now, they're kind of, can I dip my foot into the water and can I just give it a shot? It doesn't work that way, right? So first, look at your business, look at your strategy, look at your mission, and work out how Metaverse can assist, and then implement it with 100% effort. Right from the top of the organization to right to the frontliners. Otherwise, it's not going to work. There are a couple of things that this space offers businesses. Number one is new customers, mainly Gen Y, Gen Z. Second is, it actually encourages a lot more engagement from existing customers, because the space is new, there's a bit of disruption, and there's a bit of curiosity factor. Right? So existing customers will engage more. With all this strong engagement, what's going to happen is there's going to be stronger bond between the brand and the consumer, because Web3 social media is conducive to conversations and activities between the brand and the consumer a lot stronger. I mean, the engagement will be a lot closer. And when the engagement's stronger, the loyalty grows. When the loyalty grows, monetization happens automatically. So again, businesses should get into this space. Again, talk to companies like us how to get into this space, because as far as I'm concerned, I'm a businessman first. And this Web3 is a tool. It's a magic wand for me to work with blue chip companies and transcend these companies into the metaverse and help them monetize and get them closer to their consumer.
Okay, last question for you then, Khalid. Moving forward, in the Malaysian context, do you see more businesses using the metaverse to leverage on their offerings?
Absolutely. I mean, I can see the, I wouldn't say trend, but it's the future, and it's happening now. Businesses are starting. Malaysia's been a bit slow, I've got to say, compared to our regional buddies like Singaporeans, Indonesians, Thais, and the Vietnamese. But, you know, slow and steady, they're getting there. But I also believe that there needs to be a lot of awareness. And again, you know, whoever's listening to this this talk show today, please go out there and do us a favor and, you know, Google up Web3 and Metaverse. Check it out and put your business, if you're in the, you know, hospitality industry, if you're in the space of, you know, business consulting, just Google up to see what other big brands have gone into this space globally.
Okay, thank you. That was Khalid Gibran, the co-founder and CEO of Meta Universe. We're hearing his thoughts on the current interaction of the Metaverse and how it can potentially change the way we work. He got some interesting points there. A few things that, you know, I maybe take umbrage with, I think. A couple of them, one of the things that struck me was when we were talking about rules within the metaverse and rules outside of the metaverse, you know, and harassment and one thing. I think the rules are the same in the metaverse and outside of the metaverse.
Yeah, pretty much. I think I don't think that the approach to going about those sorts of issues would be particularly different. Maybe the nature of it might be different, but I don't think the solution is too different. Also, I don't know. I think I still remember being really skeptical about the whole thing. I know Khalid is very enthusiastic about it, but maybe I'm just a bit more cynical.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not so sure if gamifying my workplace is enough for me to want to move into doing something. You know, for me, the metaverse itself would be a space that I would go to wind down. I don't see it as somewhere that I'd actively go to want to work.
I don't think that it, in my opinion, I don't know if it's so suitable for maybe the day-to-day working. I could see maybe a business conference taking place in the metaverse, those once in a while where you can interact with lots of different people. And I think for networking purposes, that might be really interesting. But I don't know. I'm not sold on the day-to-day metaverse working thing.
Just yet, yeah.
I would quite like to come to the office in my pajamas. if that was socially allowed, I would do it in a heartbeat. Thank you.
We do have some feedback. Anyway, going over to WhatsApp from Robert Lim, who said it's hype. Maybe more seamless, but one could do all of these things just using traditional web as it is. Mm-hmm. We've got one from OSK who said the guest is just kind of regurgitating some of the standard talking points about the metaverse that most realistic human beings would find opposed to being human. With current technologies, hybrid work is perfectly fine, and most of us don't want avatars and discussing personal matters in the working space. Might be a teenage boy's idea of an ideal workspace, I suppose. Case in point, I'm heading back from the office to work from home this afternoon after a pleasant morning at the office interacting with my team.
That sounds nice.
That was one. The other one comes in from number ending 1172, who said, I'm providing Tai Chi lessons online. If I use the metaverse, can my students view my postures in many angles? I would imagine if it was in VR or AR, then yes, I don't think it would be much of a problem. I think they'd be able to do that. And I think that's a kind of part of the appeal of doing these kind of things, right?
And I think it's also important to note that the metaverse isn't totally ironed out yet. You know, this is something that's still in development. Yeah. There's still a lot of kind of trial and error, I suppose, being applied to the metaverse as well. So it's still something that is growing. It's still something that is being sort of, it's an experimental space, right? We're not definitively sure of a lot of things with the metaverse yet, as I think applies to a lot of other, you know, new technology.
And a lot of guests. You know, as we said, you know, at the beginning of the show, the metaverse to one person means something to that person, and yet means something completely different to somebody else. And you can ask them the same question next week, and it will be something different again next week. As you said, it's still an experimental space.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously, it's a topic that is top of mind and something that we'll keep coming back to. To just try and clarify some of these questions that I'm sure you guys at home have as much as we do. But thank you again for all of your messages, your WhatsApp and whatever. But don't go anywhere, because coming up after the 1 o'clock news, it's the Breakfast Grill replay. Roche is a global leader in cancer treatments and one of the world's largest biotech companies with more than a century of history. Having established a presence in Malaysia back in the 70s, the company has been expanding its footprint here in pharmaceuticals, diagnostics and other related products. Their Malaysian general manager, Deepti Saraf, went on The Breakfast Grill this morning to share some thoughts on Roche Malaysia's expansion plans, the healthcare industry in Malaysia, and her outlook in general. That's all coming up after the 1 o'clock news. If you missed any part of this show, you can download the podcast wherever you normally get it from, so you can listen to me and Christine all over again. We suggest using the BFM app. That's available in the Apple App Store or Google Play. We'll be back same time, same place tomorrow here on Enterprise Biz Bytes on BFM 89.9, the business station.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.